Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Marvel Monday. Wolf, I got to switch with you, buddy. I got to ride low here, and we got to bring in my brother, the Wookiee. Wookiee, we're on the bottom tonight, buddy. So we're getting covered up all night. We're putting the A-list talent up on the top. Welcome to Marvel Monday, ladies and gentlemen. It has been a minute since Mandalorian Monday, and I was really excited to have this show and to get this together. We asked our good friend of the network and one of our favorite hosts on all things Marvel, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Percy Jackson, you name it, Brian from United We Fan, to sit shotgun with me and to ride with me in this adventure, because it's gonna be a crazy 2021. So welcome, Brian from United We Fan, the Mondays on This Is Life. Brian, had it. Is it everything you thought it would be?
Oh man, like I've been called a Marvel shill. Like, shill it up, like bring it on. I love this show so much. But if we're getting into Percy Jackson or Indiana Jones, I'm going to tap out.
That's fine.
My co-host.
Well, Mark will come on, and in those instances, we'll bring Mark on, and Mark and the Wolf. Well, all three of us will be right at home with the show tunes. You and Wookie may want to bounce, but it's up here all day. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk really quick about the show itself. Say welcome to the show. What is Marvel Monday all about? So I'm going to try to sit back and moderate what I lovingly call our panel of fans and experts. And you know, no one here is going to take this personally, but what we wanted to do is we wanted to talk about the MCU, and essentially with WandaVision firing up, that's just going to be the first show. But I mean, Brian can tell you, Brian, what are the exact days? We're not without Marvel for a lot of days this year. We have a lot of Marvel.
If everything comes out on time, and all of Hawkeye premieres in 2021, like all indications are, we're going to have 44 weeks out of 52 weeks of the year is covered by Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
Wow.
And 4 movies.
Wow.
So there's no shortage. And oh yeah, Book of Boba Fett at the end of the year too.
Amazing. So our line of thinking was, Brian and I kind of put our heads together and said, listen, this is going to be the year of Marvel's big return. So let's put together a show. We thought originally it was going to be just a WandaVision splash like we did for Mandalorian, and then said, we're going to make it Marvel Mondays, and we're just going to keep on going with this bad boy until there's no more Marvel to talk about. But what we were trying to do was take a look at this from a fun, fan-friendly standpoint. So for people that the show is here for, even if you don't read the comics, this show was here to be dedicated to you. And then enter the panel. So Ethan is not upset by this. He's embraced it on his own podcast and said, he is a neophyte when it comes to all things MCU and Marvel. So yeah. Ethan, you know, the Wolf is your guy when, you know, you're watching this and you're saying, hey, listen, you know, Wanda's pretty and like, I like the cinematography, but I really don't know what the heck is going on.
Wolf, definitely.
Wolf is your rep.
Absolutely.
Wookiee and I fall probably, we're pretty close to each other, that Wookiee and I, we've read comics. Mm-hmm. I haven't read them in a very long time. The Wookiee is pretty up on this stuff. And then we kind of have our resident Marvel guy, which is Brian. Brian is the anchor. He's going to be here to dive deep. So if we do get a Marvel wonk in the comments, you know, Brian's going to be the guy. It's not me. Brian's going to be that guy that's going to – we're going to throw it right up to him in that top square and say, Brian, you know, heavy lifting is all you. But – our panel was purposely composed of every level of fanship. So wherever you fall on the spectrum, my audience on that, I have a person here for you. I have a person here for you. So many of you know the Wolf and Wookiee. So guys, for those who are new, tell us about Wolf and Wookiee, a Walt Disney World podcast. Before we get in a United We Fan, you know, tell us about the show, guys.
Sure. Absolutely. So we are the Wolf and Wookiee. We put a new podcast out every Tuesday. We get together and go back and forth. We banter. We get to meet some new friends and have them on the show as well. Mr. Wookiee, awesome to see you tonight. I'm glad that your internet connection is working well. And we got a great episode coming out this week. We're going to talk about Ryan's trip. We're going to talk about my upcoming trip. So definitely check us out. Every Tuesday we put out a new show. And on Thursday, we've got our first live episode of Diz Life News Tonight, which I'll be hosting as well. And I'm super excited about that. We're going to be talking about all things news, and we're excited about that as well.
Nice. Brian, so tell us a little bit about United We Fan. I have talked it up. You know that I love fanning with you guys. I had the pleasure of being on the show for the Disney investors meeting. You know I'm a huge fan of both you and Mark. I can't wait until Mark joins us from week to week to talk Marvel with us. Tell us about the show and the podcast and just, I guess, your Marvel love, because you are the Marvel guy.
Yeah, I United We Fan was another COVID podcast. Mark, you're pretty familiar with those. Side note, Wolf and Wookie, I was able to go to Epcot today, and I picked up a great piece of Marvel art at the Festival of the Arts over in Epcot.
It's
awesome. So
very cool.
Lots of cool stuff there. But United We Fan. Mark and I used to work together. That's where we met. Mark's got everything covered. If it's Star Wars or Marvel, bring it my way. If it's anything else, we talk about all different kinds of fandoms and all that kind of stuff. That's all Mark. The man is a jack of all trades. He knows it all. We've got a fun show. We're figuring out kind of our way in the world, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I love fanning out with you guys. You can catch United We Fan everywhere that you find a podcast, and those guys are just really awesome. I'm just getting caught up on the comments, and that gives me a chance to remember. We've been collecting all of your questions throughout the course of the weekend. We've preloaded all of the questions in there, but if something pops up, you know, we love having this be an interactive show. Let us know in the comments, and then I'm going to shut up and do like little segments like this and throw it over to these guys. But if you have something that you want answered, if we know the answer, we're going to give it to you. If we don't know, we're going to give you an idea of what we think it might be. So definitely, if you're confused, and that's where I really want to start, guys, is like what your opinions on the episode was. It was a very polarizing episode. I saw a lot of, I love it and it's brilliant. And then I saw a lot of people who quite honestly said, I'm going to give it one more week and then I'm out. So Wolf, let's start with you in the top square. Mm-hmm. You know, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so you kind of nailed it right on the head. I am definitely the person that I never got into the Marvel universe. And then Ryan said, hey, man, you got to at least try them. If for nothing else than to talk about it on the podcast. And what's funny about this show is all of a sudden, my wife, who we just had the comment up a second ago, said, all right, I want to watch it. I want to figure out a little bit more about it. And I said, well, I'm not the best person to tell you really what's going on. So, you know, we got the Wookiee involved in terms of like answering some of our questions. But, you know, as someone who had just become a fan, and as someone who enjoys, I mean, you guys remember from, you know, even Mando Monday, like I love the music. I love the cinematography. I love those aspects of it. And there were so many pulls from, you know, generations of television that I recall watching as a kid that my parents watched, Leave It to Beaver, you know, Genie, like the play on the Genie and the things of that nature, just like your traditional husband and wife, I Love Lucy, all of those little things came to the forefront. And if for nothing else, you could enjoy it just based on those simple things. You didn't necessarily have to know what was going on. And I think that's how I tried to tell Jen to watch it. Hey, just try to watch it and just try to enjoy it for what it is.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, and you had that right. You had the attitude I saw from a lot of people. I just want to pull up Derek's comment because it resonated with me. He said, I want to like it. I'm not sure if I did. I mean, I'll watch it. But there were a lot of people that felt that way. And Wolf, you kind of felt that way. So tell us about, because you reached out to all of us and you were kind of Derek in this discussion. And if folks that are out there, again, sound off, let us know in the comments what you thought. Is it something that you loved immediately, or do you think you got to get warmed up on it? Go ahead, Wookie. You know, tell us what you thought. Okay, we're having a little audio difficulty.
Are you muted?
Are you muted? I don't think he's self-muted.
No.
No.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear him.
We're not allowed to talk bad about the show.
No, that's what it was. All right, so he's going to try to do the disconnect and reconnect. So Brian, why don't you give us your take on it, because I know you were super high on it.
I like I said, it met everything that I wanted. But I've been clued into this show for a long, long time. We've had 563 days since Spider-Man Far From Home came out. Like, I have been without Marvel content from the MCU for 563 days, give or take however many theater rewatches I had for Far From Home. But I've been locked in on this show. It was supposed to be Falcon Winter Soldier first. That was going to be kind of a safe bet for Marvel Studios. They were going to just take something that we're generally aware of, in Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes and all that kind of stuff. But the pandemic happened and just things aren't happening. And Marvel didn't play it safe. This show is not playing it safe by introducing you to this new world of the MCU.
No,
I knew sitcoms were coming. Just giving you my overall thoughts, I think they nailed exactly what they wanted to. It looked like it's got that same charm. Wolf, you talked about the music. Just they've got the little segue music that introduce you to different, like the very beginning of the second episode where they're in the two separate beds, and it just has that goofy music that brings it back. And just everything about it is a love letter to the American sitcom, and it's as captivating as the Andy Griffith Show ever was. And I don't know how it's just got that magic to it.
Yeah. WandaVision. Yeah. Like, it was, man. They really nailed it on the head for sure.
That second episode intro, the cartoon Bewitched version. Oh yeah. Man.
As a kid who grew up, I grew up with Nick at Night. Mm-hmm. It was good feels again, much like I joked and said, Luke brought me back to the good childhood feels. Those nods to American television, the classic days of American television, brought me back. So Shauna kind of hits on, and I want to start with this one, guys. So what we wanted to do was we took a lot of these questions, and since Shauna kind of started us in this direction, so many people asked us what our thoughts were on when WandaVision is taking place within the MCU timeline. I know that we don't know this, Shauna, like there's no definitive answer to this, but Brian, you had some speculation about this. So why don't I fire that one over to you to take, buddy?
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's a little bit more than speculation. The fact that it is kicking off phase four kind of gives us an indication as to what's going on there. The last time we saw Wanda, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame by now, really, you shouldn't be watching this show. Last time we saw Wanda was at Tony Stark's funeral. And she's contemplating. She seems like she's in a good place. But that's, I mean, when we want to pull back the curtain a little bit, talk real world, like, she has a very difficult life. Her brother passed away. Her parents were killed by a Stark missile. And we're going to talk more about that later on. Her brother dies in Avengers Age of Ultron. Vision, she literally has to kill him, watch him come back to life, and then get killed again. She's in a depressive state. And she grew up in Sokovia, which, if you don't know what that is, it's the city that Ultron made fly and all that kind of stuff. My theory is she grew up watching American sitcoms. This is her version of escapism. Mm-hmm. Just like, and it, I mean, the fact that this is the first Marvel content we're getting out of a pandemic, this is my form of escapism. Like, I can't stay in it. But we've seen Wanda likes this world that she's living in. And so to answer the question, this is taking a place shortly after Avengers Endgame, because Wanda was blipped. She was wiped out by Thanos. She's coming back. So this is taking place very quickly after Avengers Endgame. That's the answer to that question.
Yeah, I agree with that. Does anyone have a different theory on that? I think this is right after. And that was my first thought, is this is her coping mechanism. She's been blipped. Now she's coming to terms with, and don't forget, like, she was unblipped and went right into the battle. So she didn't have much of a chance to really process Vision being gone and not being back. So I think that a lot of that that's what this is her.
She was able to process it by lifting Thanos in the air and just about beating him until he rained fire. Like, she's strong, man.
Yeah. I love it. So, I mean, that was one of the biggest ones. I knew we couldn't answer that, but we speculate about it. The other one that it seems like we got a lot of, and there's a lot of character-based questions that I'm going to throw at you guys, but there was a lot of interest in, and if you're interested in this person too, like if this was your question, just sound off. Like Catherine Hahn was easily my favorite character too, by the way, but everyone wants to know who is the next door neighbor, Agnes. It seems like, and then I kind of piggyback these two together. It seems like her character has a lot more than is letting on. She's not just your average passerby in this dreamscape. Let's call it what we will at this point. We really don't know what it is at this point, but it seems like Agnes has a lot more to the story than she's even letting on at this point. What are your thoughts on this one, Wookie?
I couldn't agree more. I think there's definitely something going on there that we're not privy to. So I do think that there's something going on there that she's not letting on. And I do agree with you. I think that there's something going on there that she's not letting on that I think is going to be a big part of the show.
Yeah. I feel like there've been little lines too, that she's dropping very specific lines that are just loaded. The one being, and Ethan, I'll feed you this one, the devil's in the details.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. There was a lot to that line. No, Wolf.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the thing that intrigued me the most about her was she was there right away. She had an immediate interest in Wanda. And I'll be honest, when my first initial reaction was, okay, it's just like a neighbor. It's just a neighborly thing to do, to go over and see if they need any sugar or whatever the case may be. But, you know, most certainly.
Or four-course meal.
Yeah, right, right. So it's certainly, there's certainly some interesting aspects to her character that truthfully, I don't necessarily understand. Like I know, you know, just based off of the way that it was written and the way that it was talked about, that there's something more going on there. But for someone who's also really still just an average consumer of this content, I didn't really pick it up until I started, you know, talking to Brian and Ryan about that. So,
well, I ask you that too because you are a casual fan.
Yeah,
you don't know who Agatha Harkness is. You don't know a lot of the back stuff. So, did you get vibes from her like instantly?
Not necessarily vibes. I could pick up that she was, you know, there right away. She was interested in so many things, like the sort of quote unquote sexual things that, you know, we're going on between Wanda and Vision. And, you know, that sort of all plays into the For the Children thing. And I realize we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, yeah. But, you know, there was such a weird amount of interest in Wanda, in Vision, in their relationship, that it is sort of strange to me, you know, why all of that stuff sort of came to the forefront.
Yeah.
But she definitely... You know, the fact that she was interested right away was an alert to me that something else is going on here.
Yeah.
It's a dream state. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's.
Well, Brian, I want to kick this one over to you. You've been really honed in on the children aspect of it, especially in terms of how that relates to Agnes. So you want to talk about that without taking us too far into the weeds today, too, because I know I know that opens up a whole host of like we really go down the rabbit hole when we start getting into the kids already and who those kids might be for, but you know, what are your thoughts on that?
It's not overstated to say that this entire series is for the children. The entire premise of this show is the birth of Billy and Tommy. And I mean, that's not a spoiler of any sort. That's she's pregnant at the end of the second episode. Yeah. We'll let the story play out. There's multiple people in which could be after those kids. I saw a question earlier of how is this happening? We clearly don't know. We do know Wanda likes being in whatever she's in. Who's pulling the strings? I genuinely don't think it's Wanda. I just think Wanda really likes being here. You talked about Agnes being Agatha Harkness. That's probable. Agatha Harkness, it's probable, but it's not 100% guaranteed. Now there is the throwaway line. She says that the only way my husband Ralph would remember our anniversary, if there was a beer called June 2nd. And that does throw in June 2nd is the start of the Salem witch trials, which is part of Agatha Harkness's background in the comic books. Agatha Harkness in the comic books, sometimes a good person, sometimes a bad person. Wanda looks up to her a lot. And you can tell when she says she's gonna go get that article and this is gonna be a gas, which is my favorite line. Catherine Hahn, you don't put her in a role as the nosy neighbor. She's far too good of an actress, far too much going on. But when she knows what's going on, because when Wanda sees a colorful helicopter, she breaks her from it. This is the star of the show, and then talks about Senior Scratchy or whatever. But yeah. Agatha Harkness is probable, and I don't know if she's the villain. I really don't. She could be trying to help Wanda. Like, she could be trying to help Wanda, but I think she put the heart on the calendar. I think that's the day that they were supposed to conceive those children. She's got a lot going on.
Yeah. So I want to bring this up. A few of you, and I'd also like to point this up, that I finally got caught up on the comments. Y'all have been amazing at just blasting stuff out. But there have been so many people that have been talking about Wanda and her power. The four of us kind of we had a little bit of a coffee clutch earlier today when we had a break, and we talked about, do we talk about chaos magic or do we not talk about it? And I told you I was of the mind that I want to talk about Wanda's powers specifically for those of you who are not into the comic books. If you don't know, and they have not talked about Wanda's powers all that much, but they have alluded to the fact that her powers are constantly growing. There is a big thing in Civil War that revolves around her inability to control the powers and really understand the limitations or the maximum effect of it when she takes down the entire building. And then for the duration of the film in Civil War, she's kind of sitting there being hid because she's so fearful of what she possesses and doesn't quite understand what she has. That's a really big part of this, is it not, Brian, that she has in her possession some of the strongest powers, and her chaos magic is just that. It's chaotic, and she cannot exactly control all of it, nor does she even understand how any of it works. That in the books, she's a hot mess. Would you agree with my assessment of Wanda as being Scarlet Witch is a hot mess? In the books, that's kind of at play, is it not?
She's emotional. She's definitely emotional. Like, the entire House of M comic book run is about her wanting to end mutant kind, and it's all about how she had children that were taken from her, and her memory was wiped, and then she found out about it. Like, she snaps. Now's not the time for speculation. I'm not going to go on that. But she is emotional, but she has been called by Kevin Feige and several others at Marvel Studios as the most powerful Avenger.
Yeah,
she
Brian
has capability we haven't unlocked yet.
Yeah, and Brian just said if she can destroy an Infinity Stone, she has some serious powers. Yeah,
she can destroy the Mind Stone because she's a product of the Mind Stone. I mean, yeah.
I love that aspect of it, and I think it's really cool. So one of the things that we got, and I'm just trying to go in chronological order for y'all too. I saw all of your radio comments. We're getting to that. Hang on. We're going to get to that. But what's up? So what's up with the dinner scene, guys? Like, that was some Alfred Hitchcock interesting stuff that was going on at the dinner table when there was a break in that, and there was a look on Vision's face. His face got washed with fear. That was clear. There was a lot more to that. You know, what was your reaction to that moment? That for me was my first realization of just how brilliant the series was.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, again, sort of sitting in the casual fan seat, I noticed the mom from that 70s show just kept saying, stop it, stop it, stop it.
Stop it.
And did you see her change her direction? She was saying that too? She was telling Arthur to stop it, and then she was telling Wanda to stop it. Big, big thing.
Right. I think that's going to be a big that's going to be a big part of the show, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, that for me that was the clear moment that I came to the realization that there is most certainly more than meets the eye. But I almost think that was the moment where I think we got maybe a little bit more insight into that this may be something that Wanda controls entirely, because she rectified the situation and then she seemed to gloss over it. And that happens again with the radio, that there's an awkward moment. There's some extreme violence that goes on. And then we almost go back to like, even the players in the scene go back to being like, dinner is normal. Well, that was great. Thank you for having us. We're leaving. It was very, very weird.
I agree, because the whole Vision save him, and then Vision just like reached in his throat and pulled the, you know, whatever he was choking on. It just seems like that whole scene seems to be part of their reality. So I do think that, you know, whatever is going on there, they definitely are a part of.
Yeah.
But Vision definitely seems to – I just don't think he's actually there.
James brings up a really cool point too, and there's a lot – why didn't they show Vision's face while they were trying to answer the where are you from questions? There's
things. I don't think Vision's actually there.
I don't think Vision's alive either. I agree with that. Wow. I agree with that. I think Vision's actually dead. That Vision himself is a projection of Wanda's psyche at this time.
I don't know.
Again, it's speculation. All right,
Vision can question his reality of what is he doing at his job, but he had to, like, everything went off script. And he had to wait for Wanda's permission to save Mr. Hart. We don't know, but I don't know.
All right, admit. So Brian, here's my one question. Is both times you saw color, was the red helicopter and then the red blood on her hand?
Wookie's pushing the envelope. We're jumping now. He got it jumping down. All right, so
there's something with the color red.
Because it's in the first episode as well. When we talk about the commercial, we can talk more about that too. But it's when reality breaks. You're not supposed to have somebody get injured in a sitcom. Dottie's hand's not supposed to get cut. Mr. Hart is not supposed to almost die. That doesn't happen in I Love Lucy. That right. is when, and if you notice, that's when the cameras change. That's when we get cameras actually zooming in and not doing these single camera shots. That is when reality breaks. The helicopter is what was causing that noise. It wasn't a tree banging up against the window. The helicopter is what caused that noise. That is when reality breaks. That's, I think, literally Wanda, if you could see things from her perspective, she's like a dog. She's seeing this world in black and white. She's literally seeing it as a sitcom playing out in front of her. And wow. When reality creeps in, something that's not supposed to happen, that's when we see color.
Yeah,
And we'll talk about the commercials when we get to them. But
well,
yeah,
let's get to this, because then that brings up at the end of the very first episode, we see presumably a S.W.O.R.D. agent or someone that has some kind of affiliation with S.W.O.R.D. For people that are again not really in tune with what is going on in the MCU, this was the biggest question. Was I saw the S.W.O.R.D. insignia? What is that S.W.O.R.D.? Who is S.W.O.R.D.? What is this icon? And like S.H.I.E.L.D., it's an acronym. So I thought we have to talk about who S.W.O.R.D. is. Again, pure speculation. We don't know what role they're playing in all of this. It's so important to stress. We don't have enough information yet to know if they're good or what side they're on, if they are the ones that have captured Wanda, if they're the ones that are trying to rescue her. But who is S.W.O.R.D., Brian? Who is S.W.O.R.D.? What, you know, we see that icon so many times.
S.W.O.R.D. stands for the Sentient Weapons Observation and Response Division. Go ahead, Wookie.
All I was going to say is I don't think that S.W.O.R.D. is bad. Nope. Like they seem like they're on Wanda's side, and it almost looked like that the beekeeper was someone that was trying to save her. So I'm a little confused as to where this show is going, because I think S.W.O.R.D. could be on her side.
I agree. Whoever's got her under this spell, S.W.O.R.D. can see it, and S.W.O.R.D.'s trying to infiltrate it.
Rob just said the helicopter was Iron Man's colors too. Correct. Yeah, I love little things like that that you clearly saw in the television commercials, was made by Stark Industries. It would be so interesting to see if we get some of the old players in this, or at least some kind of some cameos or whatnot. But let's talk about the commercials, Brian. Easily your favorite part. I want to ask the casual guy first. Ethan, did you off the bat, did you catch all the Easter eggs in the commercials?
Not at all. But here's what I can tell you is that, like, my mind picked up on the fact that in both commercials, the sequence of the ticking would start at one particular momentum and then it would start to speed up. And that happened in both instances. Other than that, I noticed that the people were the same, and that was pretty much it. I didn't really think too much about it, other than the Great American Sitcom always had wonderful commercials, and they were about toasters and watches and, you know, things that the everyday family was going to sort of need and wanted to improve in terms of their everyday regular lives. So getting a new toaster that toasted, you know, perfect bread was a hot commodity. But other than that, no, I didn't pick up on any of the Easter eggs.
Yeah. Sebastian's bringing something up that and again, Sebastian, this is why I wanted to talk about Chaos Magic. And I wanted to talk about that specifically is I really think it's going to be a common plot with this series that she doesn't understand her powers. You know, that it's literally all of this revolves around altering reality. I happen to agree with everything that he's saying here. I think that she is altering this. I think she's doing it. I think when the S.W.O.R.D. agent arrives as the beekeeper, I think that she's rewinding it. She's controlling it and rewinding it because I don't think she wants to be in touch with reality. So if I had to guess, I'm picking up what Sebastian is putting down here. Brian, go ahead, because you were all about the commercials. It was easily the thing you wanted to talk about the most.
Yeah, I'm seeing Brian in the comments talking about S.W.O.R.D. being Sentient World Observation and Response Division. That is the accurate definition in the comics. For the MCU, they are changing it to Sentient Weapon Observation and Response Division, because in the comments, in the comics, S.H.I.E.L.D. still exists. We don't need S.H.I.E.L.D. on the Earth. Now we need S.H.I.E.L.D. on the Earth because, as Strucker says in the post-credits scene of The Winter Soldier, is S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra are two sides of a coin that are no longer currency. It was released that it's weapon in the MCU. Regardless, that doesn't matter. But the commercials, big deal, because Ethan, you pointed it out. It's the same couple in both of these commercials. I have a theory that Sebastian, I'm picking it up. Like, yes, I agree. The same couple, because they are Wanda's parents. These people, these commercials, and wait for this Friday, whichever the commercial is, I think you're going to start seeing a pattern that each of these particular commercials is a traumatic thing in Wanda's past. The toaster, the second they push it down, it sounds like Iron Man's repulsor on his palm. It clicks, it beeps. The light lights up red. Wanda's backstory is the Miss Stark missile landed right in her house. Tick, 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 waiting for it to go off, just like you're waiting for this toaster to go off. And it doesn't, and it finally goes off. The missile didn't go off. It didn't kill Wanda.
Well, that's the thing, is everything was red. Every color you saw was red.
Yep.
So there's definitely something behind that. And I also want to say, fantastic sweatshirt.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Rob said this, Brian, Rob said the Strucker watch. Go. Commercial two, so go.
The Strucker watch, Baron von Strucker, dies very early in Age of Ultron. You see him primarily, his most important scene is that post-credit scene in Captain America: The Winter Soldier, where Wanda's, the Mind Stone in Loki's scepter, did it create Wanda and Pietro? I'm very much of the belief now that X-Men can be in play that it simply unlocked what was in them all along. I don't think we're really going X-Men in this series much, but I think it unlocked Wanda's powers. But Strucker has said he has plenty of time for Wanda and Pietro to turn into what they became. I think that that's all that it is. There's a Hydra symbol on it. Again, using Strucker's words, S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra are two sides of a coin that are no longer currency. Hydra is dead. Hydra's not playing a role, but Hydra is very much part of Wanda's very, very dark past that she's trying to bury here.
Yeah,
that's what confused me, Brian, is that there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of, like, Hydra, and I just didn't really see where they're going with this, so...
We're only 2/9 of the way through.
Yeah.
Only 2/9 of the way through.
So Brian from Mouthsiers and Magic Podcast brings this up. Brian from United We Fan and I talked about, I share your belief. Brian, I think that there is a lot of the House of M, which is the graphic novel that has inspired some of this. I believe. And I think that a big part of the House of M involves the mutants. I truly believe that this is setting us up, if only to tease their introduction to the MCU. I think that this is going to bring us, if only it's going to bring us Professor X. That would be, if I had to put $10 on it, I'd put $10 on that.
I'll take that bet.
Yeah, I wouldn't put more than 10. I'll put $10 on, I think we're going to get Professor X from this. No other X-Men. But I think you're going to get Professor X at the tail end of, if not the series, from the end of Multiverse of Madness. That would be my bet. Rob says, I want to say a name that may be too much for early in the season, but if it's relevant, I'd love to hear Brian's thoughts on Mephisto being involved. Yes, Rob. Listen, let's do that. Let's at least say it, because we've talked about for the children, we've talked about the kids. I think it would be kind of remiss for those of us for those of you that are out there that are hardcore and diehards, I heard this joke thrown around on Samantha Modecki, put a cool post up, a spoilers post. And, you know, they kind of threw that in the post that they said, listen, we're just raising these kids from Mephisto. I want to get into that. So I'm going to try with these shows, to those of you that are watching, to not get too far in the weeds, because again, we have no indication that Mephisto is even involved in WandaVision or Multiverse of Madness. But let's welcome it for a second, guys. What are your thoughts on the big bad Mephisto really being behind a lot of this stuff?
I gotta be honest. I don't know who that is.
Wolf taps out. I was going to say, Wolf, I don't know if you're, and that's cool. And ladies, that's fine. If you're on Wolf's level, that's cool. That's also why hopefully you're coming and sitting with us, is we may enlighten you and give you a cool character here. Wookie, do you have anything on Mephisto?
I think Mephisto is behind the whole thing. So everything you're seeing is all controlled by him. And that's strongly how I feel. I think that he's definitely the source behind, you know, this whole dream state that Wanda is going through. I don't think Vision has anything to do with it. I think it's more or less Mephisto.
Brian agrees with you from Mouse Years of Magic. He says absolutely, and James is echoing that. Brian, what do you think?
For those of you who don't know what Mephisto is in the MCU, he's literally the devil. In the comics, he's the devil. We've seen him only on screen, I think, in Ghost Rider, that Nicolas Cage movie. But I agree. I think he's involved. I do think he's involved. He could be Agnes's husband, Ralph.
That's what I thought.
The biggest reason I think he's involved is Agnes's. The devil is in the details, Bev. That's not the only place he is. Like, they put a he on it. That could very well be a red herring. I wouldn't hate Agnes being Mephisto herself. I think that would be really, really interesting. I think Mephisto, this is why I don't think Wanda's in charge, is I think Wanda likes being here, and I think Wanda's allowed to have whatever control Wanda wants to have. But overall, I don't think Wanda's in charge. I don't. I think Mephisto's pulling the strings here. And if it's not him, we very well might not see him until a post-credit thing. It could be Multiverse of Madness. I think we're headed to a point where Wanda's a villain in Multiverse of Madness. I do. And Mephisto could do that. I don't know. I'm.
Let me ask. I gotta ask this because
what's go ahead, Wolf?
I'm curious if people who are into the movies and enjoy the movies, are they going to need to watch WandaVision in order to understand movies later on? That's sort of the question.
The answer to that question is if you care about knowing everything. There's people that watch just the four Avengers films, and that's all that they ever saw. I think you could have gone into seeing Avengers Homecoming and Spider-Man. You could have gone into Avengers Infinity War without having seen Spider-Man Homecoming and not been completely lost. Mm-hmm. I think you could come into Multiverse of Madness and be like, oh, this is weird because Loki's also playing a role in Multiverse of Madness. So I think if you don't watch these things, you can play catch up pretty quick because they'll give you a 3-minute intro like Wong and Doctor Strange do with the Infinity Stones in Infinity War.
Yeah.
But we knew what was going on because we've been paying attention. I would recommend not missing anything. But that's, again, chill. So
Sebastian, Sebastian brings this up. I would really like to field this one, gentlemen, if you don't mind. He says, they got to do demons. I wonder if Disney will. Sebastian, yes, they are. Blade is coming to the MCU. They're not just going to tackle demons. They're going to tackle vampires. They're going to tackle a side of Marvel that some people are really, really into. That darker side, yes, they are. So I have to say, Disney's going to bring. They're going to bring it. I thoroughly believe it. Blade's coming to the MCU,
I can't wait,
and I cannot wait. So I think it's really going to happen. It's up to people to see how much backstory they want. Watching Clone Wars certainly adds to the Star Wars experience, but some people don't have that level of care. Rob, spot on, buddy. I totally agree. I agree with everything. There was a little Silver Surfer talk. I'm not going to get too far into that. We need a good Silver Surfer movie. I agree to get that crappy Fantastic Four movie that Fox released out of my vision. And Blade is very underrated. I agree. So, gentlemen, this was another one that we got. This is kind of winding us down. To all of the viewers out there, who do we need to watch for and who do you think is going to be important? And if all of you want to take one, or, you know, Wookie, if you don't know who we need to watch for, who are you watching for?
I think it's Silver Surfer.
don't get your hopes up.
No, I think that's the biggest character that, you know, looking forward at the MCU, I think that's the character that can expand all of this the most.
We're talking more WandaVision though, right, Mark?
Yes. Yeah. WandaVision. Who do you want to watch? Who are we watching for?
I don't think Silver Surfer is going to be in WandaVision, but I do think that's the character that could expand this universe the most.
Oh, I agree. I agree. If we're going to go cosmic, so I don't want to listen. We've only got so much time here. I agree with you for the cosmic phase. Silver Surfer is a really great linchpin for the whole thing. Wookie, who are you watching, or who do you think we need to watch for the fans out there in WandaVision? Who do you think a name drop, a character that we've seen that you're telling everybody, hey, listen, look out for this person. They've got a lot to do.
Probably Doctor Strange. I think there's no way him and Mephisto. I think there's no way one of the two of them are not pulling the strings here.
I agree with that. Wolf, who do you think? Who are you looking at?
I got to be honest. I'm not necessarily at that point. I mean, there's a couple characters that kind of stuck out to me that like the Hart family were certainly interesting. I'll be curious to see if they come back. I mean, you saw Mrs. Hart at the sort of the function and the show, but you didn't see Mr. Hart that time around, so that was interesting. And then there's also, you know, the woman that Wanda sort of became really infatuated with at the dinner party, and they started sharing, you know, their own mementos about how they really didn't like the, oh gosh, I'm terrible with names, but they didn't really like the head lady there who was, you know, just being really mean, for lack of a better word.
Dottie,
there you go. Yeah, Dottie. So like those four to me are the people that sort of stuck out the most. And then obviously you got Agnes as well. She's an interesting character. I'll be, you know, sort of excited to see what more, because she's the one who sort of introduced her to, you know, this group. And what's funny is like all the women had like these catty conversations with one another. When you went with Vision to the men meeting, the watch meeting, it was just casual conversation. It was just fun. It was like, oh, you want another Danish? You want a piece of gum? There was nothing really of importance to me, at least during those conversations. So the women had the big conversations, and the men were just hanging out. So that was intriguing to me as well.
Who do you think, Brian? Who do you think's coming into play?
Agnes, for sure. We've talked about her on multiple occasions. She's dropped the idea of children multiple times, saying Wanda needs to get in with Dottie because she's head of school admissions, like all that kind of stuff. Dottie's a big deal. Dottie, very suspicious. Mr. Hart and Dottie are the only two people that have been aggressive with Wanda about who she is, and they both gotten hurt. Dottie got her hand cut, and Mr. Hart choked.
Agnes, wow. I didn't even realize that.
Agnes said, and they both move on right after they get hurt. They, oh, would you look at the time? I'm gonna leave here. Agnes asked how long she's been married, and Wanda's response is, "It's like we've always been together." Because I don't think Wanda knows the answer. I think Wanda's trapped in this world and she doesn't know. But Agnes didn't push it because I think Agnes knows. Agnes is important to watch. Dottie's important to watch. I love Deborah Jo Rupp from That 70s Show. Like when Vision sings Yakety Yak and she just dances, like I love her. Yeah. I don't know how important she is. The Sword Agent.
I think that's the big part of the show.
Yeah.
The whole Yakety Yak, and then her just stop it.
It was an incredible performance on her.
Yeah, role. she was amazing.
And she flips it by putting her hands over Wanda's face, and then she knocks the lobster on the door, like both ends of the spectrum.
So can I just pull this, and I'm actually going to steal your graphic because you told me to preload some of this.
Yeah, I was getting there. Please do it.
I think the person to watch for is right here, ladies and gentlemen, Monica Rambeau. And if you don't know
who Monica, red shirt.
If you don't know who Monica Rambeau is, she's, again, Brian just said, she's the girl in the red shirt. She is the third party of that magic act. And we've already said that, you know, that there's a helicopter. She was not in the first episode. The helicopter arrives, and then all of a sudden we have Monica Rambeau in this dream state or whatever it is. I thoroughly believe, and she is an agent of S.W.O.R.D., correct, Brian?
We assume so. She's in the military. She's going to be Captain Marvel one day. She's the little girl from Captain Marvel, Lieutenant Trouble. And everybody recognizes her. There's our beautiful red and yellow with a 57 on it, which is the arrival of Avengers 57 is the arrival of Vision into the Avengers. But Monica Rambeau is somebody. And pay attention to her. She's the most important one to watch out of this whole thing.
Samantha says, Geraldine.
That's her. Geraldine. She doesn't know her name. Yeah. And Samantha nailed it.
Yep. Good stuff. So I have no idea what's going on at this point. My mind is so blown. You know, the thing about this series, and again, what I find to be so compelling, ladies and gentlemen out there watching Marvel Monday, is that this, I said this in my first take on it, not since Lost had I been so enraptured by the countless, I mean, guys, we were like, what do we do? Do we even get into Easter eggs? And I was like, there's too many. There's too many nods and Easter eggs that it would have made this, it would have made this even more confusing.
Right.
But not since Lost had I felt that a show had delivered on that many Easter eggs, that many just intriguing, you know, rabbit holes that you could really dive down, have a really amazing overlay to it with the classic golden era of TV that on its face, you think you're watching, you know, Leave It to Beaver, only to realize that no way are you watching Leave It to Beaver. There's so much. And I agree. It's just, it's mind blowing. It's so good. That's what makes this show so revolutionary. So if you're not really, if you're not really committed to it, I would say like really commit to the medium and like get on board and just know that it's not a 70s, 50s, 60s sitcom. That is the delivery by which something really dark and enigmatic is it's going down. It's going down. Older Monica Rambeau sets the timeline for me. To go back to the first question is
Yep, the older Monica Rambeau, the first time we saw her was 92, 93, and we're looking about 30 years later, and so she's in her mid-30s.
So I also want to bring this up. For people who watch Spider-Man Far From Home, the extra credit scene let on that a lot of the individuals that have been living lives on Earth are not, in fact, the Terrans that we cut back, and you see Samuel L. Jackson is in space. So, you know, space travel, it distorts the timeline for us constantly. That space travel is a good way to have people that would have left Earth stay young while people that are there continue to grow. So if Monica stayed on Earth and the rest of our heroes have been zipping around space with Sword, they could very realistically meet up and one group would have aged very slowly and another would have passed time faster. So
The fact that half of them got blipped out of existence and they didn't age.
Yeah. And that, you know, so there's a lot of work here. We've seen Wiccan come up now a few times from Brian. So we've seen that come up and he's saying, just watch for Wiccan.
Young Avengers are on their way, Brian. You've absolutely got it. There's no question that Young Avengers are coming and Wiccan's at the center.
Yeah.
It's Wiccan.
I knew these two episodes were deep. Holy crap, I didn't realize it went to Captain Marvel. Wow. I mean, that's the brilliance of this.
Two more characters I wanna bring that we want to pay attention to. Mark, and you've got both of these in you. The Sword Agent at the end of the first episode looks like a very female hand. Darcy Lewis from Thor, if you recognize Miss Darcy right there. She is likely working for Sword. She is coming back in a big way, and she is monitoring what is going on. How is this being broadcast? How can Sword see it? That's a great question. And the thing that tells me Sword is not the bad guy is the end of Far From Home, because that's who Samuel L. Jackson's hanging out with. And then the other character, the man on the radio, Mr. Asian Jim himself, Jimmy Woo, from The Office and from Ant-Man and the Wasp, when he talks to Cassie about Scott going to Germany to color on the walls with Captain America. His character is amazing. I am almost certain that that is the man on the radio, which tells me that's not the man on the radio.
Yeah, the wolf and I were both going back and forth trying to argue who that was on the radio. I thought it was Captain America. He thought it was
I thought it was Michael Douglas's character from Ant-Man. I thought it sounded like Michael Douglas.
Hank Pym.
Yeah.
There's a shrunken helicopter. Hank Pym could show up.
Oh, wow. My mind just got blown when you
said that. I don't expect it, but it's possible.
Yep. My mind literally, you just blew my mind, Brian. The shrunken helicopter just, now you just blew my mind when you just said that. Oh, my goodness.
So when me and the wolf started arguing, that was kind of what blew my mind. Because I was like, oh, that was Captain America. And then he was like,
yeah,
no, that was Hank Pym.
Wow.
And I was oh.
You know, see, what? You might be. Hawkeye's a decent theory. Hawkeye could talk her down, like walk in and say the sun's going down.
There you go. Yeah, that's true.
So one thing we wanted to do for you guys as the fans was we always wanted to end one of our episodes with saying, hey, listen, I really like this. This is cool. My mind is still a little bit, you know, coming out of my ears. But if I want to find some more backstory, Brian's going to have a segment where, as my co-host, he's going to say, hey, listen, you want to find out more backstory? Here are some of the comics that can help you understand this better. So, Brian, what would you say is some suggested reading? And that's the great thing about these shows. They inspire people to want to get into the books more. So what's a good book that we can maybe send some people to kind of get on Brian from Mouse Ears and Magic's level as well?
Yeah, so we talked about it earlier. The House of M is at least a good starting point. It's not going to play out the same way. Don't get those expectations. The MCU never plays out the same way because they don't want you to know what's going on. But that's a good place to start. There's a Scarlet Witch and Vision comic that was from 1984. I'm trying to find exactly who Vision and the Scarlet Witch was 1982. I'm sorry. And that's also a good place to start. Marvel Unlimited is a great app where you can read these comics digitally. They're all on there. You can get a 7-day free trial if you would like to give it a shot. But Vision and the Scarlet Witch from 1982, I think, is actually number one, with House of M being number two there. But if you need an MCU refresher, Marvel Legends is on Disney Plus. 7-minute introductions, 7-minute rewinds as to who Scarlet Witch and the Vision even are.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to refresh your mind from an MCU standpoint.
Yeah. Guys, listen, I have to say it has been an amazing hour. It's an enjoyable hour. We kind of, this is very much mirroring our first episode of Mando Monday, because a lot of it was just speculating. And yep. I want to say to those of you too, I hope that we were able to give you some answers as to what, you know, what's out there and what's coming. But the fun thing about this show is we still don't know what's coming down the pike. But I hope that it made you really appreciate just how revolutionary this first next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is. I mean, it's so great because it's not just heroes fighting robots. There's such a style to it that just makes it so special that I'm excited. Go ahead, Wookie.
That's why I asked you how many episodes there was going to be, because truthfully, I just, compared to Mando, like, this is just, I don't have any answers right now, and yeah. I'm a very big Star Wars Marvel fan, but I just, in terms of this, I really don't have any answers for you. So I, moving forward, hope to have more for you, but I, you know, it's just, this show is very, it could go any direction. So I think,
Brian did what he does best. He gave me more questions. We need a Q&A with him.
Man, you can hit me up on Facebook Messenger. I can't not talk about this. This show is everything I dreamed. I don't tire of talking about it. I will do the Wolf and Wookie and Mark a favor and cut them out of it so they don't have to see me ramble on for the entire time. And Wookie's very happy about that, which I understand. So, but hit me up on, you can find me on this Diz Life group. You can add me as a friend, Facebook message me. I'll talk about anything you want me to talk about. I didn't even get into.
I know that's
the 242. There's so many things that
There's so much that we kind of held in the tank too.
I told myself I wasn't going to talk about June 2nd and the Salem witch trials, but I did it anyway.
So. And guys, too, there's so much. I just need you to understand. There's so much that we held back in the tank. So stay tuned for more answers. Thank you for tuning in for the very first Marvel Monday. We're super excited to have Brian Lee from United We Fan. The Wookiee over to my left, and then the Wolf right over here, joining us every single Monday with other fans that are going to be coming in. Thank you so much. Hey guys, have a wonderful week. Thanks for joining the live stream, and I will catch you guys next Monday at 8:30 where we break down the next episode. Take care. Have a wonderful week, guys. Sign off. We don't have a sign off yet.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. Yeah,
there we go.
I love it. Take care.